Hi, I'm Pinakin Munshi. Today we are going to cover chapter 12, which is referring to codification and standardization of materials. So one of the examples of codification is, you know, the code which we use in the computerization. And the code is created by a sequence of numbers. Each number represents a certain category or aspect of the product. Like, for example, in this case, the 1 represents the main group code, which is standing for, the 1 stands for mechanical spares. The subcode stands for bearings, and the third digit, you know, that stands for the subgroup, which in this case is for ball bearing. And then, of course, there are other suffixes which stand for the dimension of the ball bearing that is being codified here. The normal way of identifying an article is by simple description. That means we describe it verbose, you know, by describing the article. However, it is not entirely satisfactory for stores purpose, or to be precise, for the computerization purpose. Computers cannot store long descriptions, etc. What they understand is a very short description. So several different names may be used. This is also another challenge, because several different names may be used for the same thing, such as dustbin, refuse container, rubbish receptacle, etc., etc. So in order to identify some articles accurately, a very long and complicated description is required. For example, everyone knows what is meant by a chair, but there are many types of chair. So you can have chairs which are, cushion chairs, high back chairs, chair with a headrest, chair with a lumbar support. So various kind of chairs can be there. There can be plastic chairs, can be metal chairs, can be, the revolving chairs. So how do you, differentiate or identify these different kind of chairs? So this can be used or can be done by using a stores code. So when the operation of coding is complete, the list of code numbers, description, sizes, etc. are published in a document known as stores vocabulary. And the document then becomes a stores catalog. So all the items which are there in the stores, they are contained in the catalog with their codification and a description of how the code has been developed. So what are the common methods of the codification that stores use? So one is the alphabetic codification. Then you have the numeric codification, mnemonic codification, combined alphabet and numeric codification. There is a decimal system or decimal codification. There is another system called as British or the Brish codification, Kodak codification, and color codification. So let's look at the alphabet codification. So here you are using abbreviations for designating various items. For example, a bolt will be designated as BT, a nut as a NT, a square nut will be designated as a NT with a suffix SQ. Similarly, a pin will be PN. So this kind of a codification is what we call as the alphabetic codification, where we use alphabets. Now in the numeric codification, we are using numbers. Now you can just randomly use numbers, like a bolt will be 501, another bolt will be 502. There is another system which is used where you are using blocks of numbers for different type of material. So as the example here shows, raw material will be all numbers starting from 1 to 1000. Consumables will be all codes starting from 1001 to 2000. Packaging material will be 2001 to 3000. And jigs and fixtures or tools, etc., will be 3001 to 4000. So this is another way of numbering, so that, you know, looking at a number, looking at a code, you can make out what kind of material it is. Another system is a dash or a stroke number. So here, 501 stands for a bolt, and then you are giving a serial number for different type of bolts which are there in the catalog. So one is 50101, the second one will be 50102, and maybe likewise, as many bolts are there in the system, they will all be sequentially numbered. Coming to the mnemonic codification, so it's a modification of the alpha coding system, and here again you are using abbreviation. So for example, stainless steel is SS, copper is CU. If it is a copper tube, it is CUT, or a copper wire, then it is CUWR. But this system also has confusion, because when you want to let's say differentiate between a tablet or a tube, how do you do it? Because you are allowed limited number of characters, and that is where you face a challenge here. The other system is a combined alphanumeric system. So you are using both the alpha. For example, if a component is made of copper, then the first two alphabets will be CU. If it is a copper sheet, then it will be SH. And if it's a 5 mm thick, then the third suffix will be 05. So this becomes then the code for a copper sheet having 5 mm thickness. So this was an example of an alphanumeric system. Similarly, you can have a system which is a decimal codification system, where you are using decimal points, or you are using the full stop between the codes. So here the main group is coming as 01 for copper, the subgroup is 02, and the subgroup, that means the subsequent group, is meaning the dimension of the copper sheet, or it could be just a running number for various kinds of sheets which are available in the inventory. So decimal codification system, in the decimal codification system, each digit indicates something or the other. So a file, flat, single cut, smooth, size 25 mm is codified as follows. So the key is given here. When you say the code is 13102025, so 1 stands for machine and hand tools. The 3 stands for scrapers. The 1 again stands for hand tools. So likewise, the entire code is constructed based on the key that has been created for codification purpose. Coming to the British system, or also known as the British system. So this system was conceived by this gentleman called E.G. British with Gubinsky. And here they divide all the facets of the organization into number of main categories according to the nature of the business. And this system consists of 7 digits. That means the code will contain only 7 digits. So the first block gives you the major classification. So whether it is a raw material, whether it's a operating supplies, whether it is packing material, whether it is tools, etc. So there are blocks, and these are identified by the first character or the first digit. The second block gives next level of classification based on the type of material. The third block gives you the lowest level of classification, normally the specification. So, you know, detailed description, like, you know, what kind of a file, what kind of a sheet, what kind of a tube, etc. So this is an example of the British system. As you can see, the first category is the class. So first digit here represents the class. Then you have the subclass, the group, the subgroup, the series, the subseries, and then finally the sector. So just to understand, this is the British system. Coming to the Kodak system. Kodak is the company which used to make the photographic film and photographic papers. And the company was Eastman Kodak. So the Kodak system has been developed by the Eastman Kodak company, which was based in New York. And this coding system consists of 10 digits. And these 10 digits are entirely numeric. So when we say digit, it obviously means there is no alpha. It's entirely numeric. And the logic is the main grouping is based on the source of supply. So materials are divided into 100 basic classifications contributed only by procurement consideration. So how the material is to be procured will decide the classification. And the example given here is that a bolt is listed under hardware if it is to be bought from the hardware store. You can buy it from the market, so then it will be under the hardware category. But if the same bolt is to be purchased from the OEM, then it will be classified under maintenance category. So this is how the differentiation is done. So each class is divided into 10 subclasses. For example, if class 20 represents cutting tools, then 200 represents drills, reamers, counters, bars, etc. So various cutting tools, which are rotary in nature, fall under the subcategory. Also in the Kodak system, you have a basic classification where the first two digits will represent the nature of the product. For example, 00 to 20 will be for raw materials, 21 to 35 will be machines and mechanical equipment, 36 to 40 will be mechanical products and loose tools likewise. So this is a system followed by Kodak or developed by Kodak. So the second step, when you look at the next two digits, they contain the sub-classification. Example given here for category is 53 stands for tanks, 54 for pumps, 55 for mixers, 56 for packing machines, likewise. And then there is a third step or a sub-classification, which is again numeric in nature. So let us say that now we are looking at raw material, and here the raw materials are, let's say, different types of acids. So you have got under 600, 600 is the carbonic acid, 601 is sulfuric acid, and 602 is the nitric acid. If you take just the sulfuric acid, which is 601, the next two digits will tell you what kind of sulfuric acid it is. So 86 stands for type A, 87 stands for type B, 88 for type C, likewise. So what is done here is, depending upon the purity, strength, and impurity profile, you have got same product, sulfuric acid, but different specifications. And they are identified separately in the codification system. So all sulfuric acid will come with the prefix, which is common, but the last two digit or the suffix will be different. So as you can see here, 601, 87, and then the remaining numbers will be there. Another method is the color codification. Now this codification is not so much for the computer systems, etc., but it is more for the visual identification. So here it uses color marking for identification of the material. So for example, pipes will be yellow, copper will be black, cable will be red, drums will be white. So these are the codifications which are used. Now, one of the challenge we have is to standardize the material, because this is a common thing that in inventory, you will find same material appearing at multiple places, because many a times when you are getting a new machine or, new spare parts, people don't take the trouble of looking through the catalog and finding out whether the product is already there or not. Or sometimes, even for a small difference, which may not be very significant, a new code is created. So one of the challenges to standardize the items which are there in the store and to achieve variety reduction. So on many occasions, purchases are often made to meet the urgent requirement for specific purpose by creating a new code number. And after some time, a good percentage of these material become slow moving or even dead stock, because you have brought them, as we discussed in the chapter on spares. Spares are not required regularly. So many a times it may so happen that you never required these spares and they become non-moving stocks. So standardization is a process of establishing basic specifications for a set of commonly used characteristics like size, shape, and performance. So the example we took was of a bolt. So you can very easily identify the bolt, I mean a normal steel bolt from a normal category of steel will have standard dimensions. It will have a hexagonal head. Let's say it is flat headed, having a certain length, certain diameter, and certain thread type, whether it is British or metric system, etc. Another example is, you can buy a bulb of any make or wattage and then fix it in a bulb holder. So this again is standardization. You will get bulbs for which you don't have to look for different holders. There is one standard holder which has been standardized, and any bulb that you buy, you can easily fit into that holder. So this is because it's like an industry standard. Another thing is, you know, the USB drive in a computer. So when you buy any product which has a USB compatibility, you can plug it into your laptop, whether it's a pen drive or it's a hard disk or a SSD disk or any other device, you know, like a data card, etc. So this is standardization. So in simple terms, a standard is a document that provides rules or guidelines to achieve order in a given context. And standards are equally important for ensuring safety, reliability, and environmental care. So example, USB again. The standards will require how the connections in a USB or a HDMI drive will be, or HDMI connector will be, so that you can use it universally, irrespective of who has made the device, who has made the connector, you can use them universally. Standardization and variety reduction, simplification. So simplification is the process of determining limited number of grades, types, and sizes of component or products in order to achieve better quality, minimum waste, simplify production, and thus reduce production cost. Example, earlier in automobiles, there used to be large number of fasteners meaning nuts, bolts. Many places, you know, you don't require a nut because it directly screws into the body of the, let's say, the engine block or so. What the companies did over a period of time, standardized the fasteners so that instead of using, say, 10 different type of fasteners, today they will use only 3 or 4 types of fasteners. So this is one, way of standardization and simplification. So it's a variety reduction you have achieved by, instead of having 2-3 sizes, it's no problem. You can use a slightly larger size fastener instead of a smaller fastener. It will still give you a better strength, better purpose, and it will reduce the variety. So by eliminating unnecessary variety, sizes, and designs, simplification leads to manufacture of identical components for interchangeability. So you don't have to hold inventory of multiple products. Holding inventory of just 1 or 2 products serves your purpose. You may have seen this even in automobiles. The company has 3 or 4 models, but when you look at some of the components, like for example the headlight or the rear light, in many cars, in many models, you will see that these things are common. Even a simple thing like the dashboard, a company making 3 different models, including let's say a compact sedan, a multi-purpose vehicle, etc. I have seen the dashboard exactly identical. That means you have standardized the dashboard, and the same one goes into various models. Same is the case with the tail lamps, etc. So this is another example of variety reduction, which results in reduction of complexity, reduction in requirement of different variety for the manufacturing purpose. So, what is the difference between standardization and variety reduction? So, let's look at the differences. Standardization is simplification precedes the standardization. So, before you standardize, you need to simplify your requirement or your specifications. Variety reduction aims at decreasing the number of products, material or parts. So we saw the example of automobiles where we said the different type of fasteners, you have reduced it and using only three or so fasteners throughout the car. So standardization is a design activity, whereas variety reduction minimizes processes and different skills. So here, design activity meaning when it comes to designing a USB device. So that's a design activity. But variety reduction is basically, reducing the varieties, not simply of the connecting device, but even variety in terms of, using different standards. Or just take an example that you have various kinds of cables. Now you could make the cable with different length. On other hand, you could standardize this and make different types of cables all with the same length. So that would be variety reduction. So standardization aims at drop in human and material cost, whereas variety reduction shortens the production runs. Because you require less number of materials, you need to procure less number of materials, you need to store less number of materials. Aims at increase in convenience, and here less production setup changes, etc., changeovers, etc. Facilitates interchangeability, reduction in inventory. So, in fact, variety reduction also, the example of fasteners, that also facilitates interchangeability, that you can use the same fastener in multiple places. What are the type of standards? So you have product standards that are concerned with established ingredients, physical characteristics, quality, and performance of a particular item. So it could be, for example, the different type of steels. So when you say that the steel belongs to a particular grade, irrespective of who is the manufacturer, all the steels will have the same properties and the chemical composition. Engineering standards are concerned with parts and components that constitute a product. So again, we take the example of fasteners, bolts, screwdrivers, which have standards dimensions and they come in standard steps. So these are the engineering standards and they are accepted industry-wide. Material standards are concerned with preferred sizes and specification formalized for use in the business unit. So material standards, like when you say paper, when you say A4 size paper, everyone understand what a A4 size is, irrespective of who supplies it. The dimensions will be the same. Labor standards are established specifications of the business unit for type and time of labor to be used for procedures and for processes. So this is as far as the labor is used. Let's look at some of the international standards. So international standards are standards developed by International Standards Organization. International Standard Organization are available for consideration and use worldwide. So these are standards which are developed and published for everyone to follow, so that there is interchangeability, that you don't have to manufacture or buy products specifically from one particular supplier, etc. Wherever you buy the products from, as far as the category and the standard matches, they will fit your purpose. International standards may be used either by direct application or by a process of modifying an international standard to suit local conditions. So you can use these standards directly, or you can modify them to suit the local conditions. And that is the reason many a times, for example, in pharma industry, you have the US pharmacopoeia or the British pharmacopoeia, and then you also have the Indian pharmacopoeia. So there are minor differences in these standards, which are made to suit the local conditions. So the adoption of international standards results in the creation of equivalent national standards. Sometimes these national standards are direct copy of the international standards. They are just classified as local standards, but they are a ditto copy of the international standards. National standards. So these are standards developed by authorized agencies in a country for guidance and used by the industry here. So in India, these standards are finalized and released by Bureau of Indian Standards. They are established after consulting all interested organizations in India to actually establish what is acceptable by the industry and what is basically required, you know, for performance of those materials. Adding the standard to the product marketed in India provides a minimum level of quality to the customer. So the customer can today say that I am supplying a chemical or a solvent or something which is meeting the BIS standard so and so. So when you say that, it naturally means that it is complying with the BIS standard. So you don't have to separately look up any other specification. Yes, when it comes to doing the quality check, you can check it against the BIS standard which has been mentioned in terms of purity, in terms of water content, in terms of any other parameter, you can check it. Also, these standards will specify the test method, how each of the parameter is to be tested. It is the national standard body of India working under the aegis of Ministry of Consumer Affairs, Food and Public Distribution and Government of India. So Bureau of Indian Standards is working under all these agencies. And one of the major function of the Bureau is the formulation, recognition and promotion of the Indian standards as on 31st August 2013. And currently there are 19,000 plus standards which are formulated by BIS and they are enforced. That means they are available. You know that even in India, if you have to sell a pressure cooker, it has to be compliant with a particular BIS standard. Unless you do that, you cannot sell a pressure cooker. So this is the kind of a standardization that BIS has implemented. And if the product is complying with that standard, people can rest assured that it is meeting the necessary safety and operational standards. Industry standards. These standards are finalized and issued by the representative body of a member of particular industry, for example, steel, automobile, pharmacy, for use by the members. They are based on national standards with some modification to suit the industry. They are also built specifically for specific components used by the industry. So, for example, in the aluminum industry, the thickness of aluminum sheet or aluminum foil has a tolerance, and this tolerance is governed by the industry standard. So I'm not sure whether BIS already has specified the tolerance for variation in the thickness, but the industry has a standard of its own and which is followed by the industry within India. So with that, we come to the end of the chapter. Thank you.